I guess I got emotional last night, and I'm not much better today. Good to see you, Doc. World traveler.
One more thing.
Yes, ma'am.
I got my report that I was supposed to get, and they delayed. They said it's nothing to worry about now, about my life, and we're going to keep a real close eye on it. But I'm good to go.
Amen. Yes. Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Ask you to reveal truth. Speak it into our spirit, Lord. Lord, touch us. Thank you for these miracles, Lord. These things that build our faith, Lord God, your word, your activities, Lord God, your blessings. What a beautiful morning. Take these few minutes and just pour out, Lord Jesus. Just pour out. Let there be something for everyone. In this message, a nugget, a golden nugget. Use me as your vessel. Pour out today. Jesus' name. Amen. I may as well leave that handkerchief out. God is leading me to preach to you today. That's half teaching and half preaching. Preaching. I want you to remember that word because it's used quite a bit in the book of Jerry. Right? And I wouldn't be surprised if I haven't rubbed some of you the wrong way by the end of this message. But I want you to remember that you love me. Amen. And I love you. We okay with that?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. That should be easy to find. We're going to start with verse 1 and go through verse 5. Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, obviously, this scripture that we just read records an event that occurred at some point after creation. Adam and Eve were still living in the Garden of Eden. Paradise still existed. No sin, no evil, no competition, no envy, no depression, no hatred, no bad days. There might have been bad hair days, I'm not sure. Peace and tranquility reigned. The dispensation of innocence was present in this place. Adam and Eve were able to make appropriate decisions, functioning with the use of 100% of their brain's capacity. We use about 14%. Geniuses about 18% of our brain capacity. What would the world be like today if we could just use 50% of our brain? Wow, that's right. Life was pleasant for Adam and Eve. They enjoyed a beautiful relationship with each other and with God. Beautiful. They were walking and talking with Him in the garden. They'd do that during the cool of the day. However, they must have recognized and accepted their place. God was superior in every way. He was the Creator, and they were merely created beings designed for God's pleasure. But the scene of tranquility was about to be shattered by an invasion of forces never before faced by humanity. Sin was approaching the door of the human heart. Now, sin did not come dressed in the guise of a murderer. Sin did not come under the cloak of alcohol or drugs. Sin did not approach Eve in the form of a rapist. Pornography did not walk up to the door of Eve's desires and knock. Sin did not slip in dressed like an adulterous lover trying to incite her lust or tempt her to commit a heinous act. Why would she? You couldn't do better than Adam. Man? Couldn't? In this encounter, Eve was merely dealing with the physical form of a serpent. But the serpent was not the form that approached the door of her heart. No sin came into her heart in the very clever and deceiving form of a lie. Can I say that again? Sin came into her heart in a very clever and deceiving form of a lie. On the surface, it did not seem to be such a big deal. The lie wasn't even a really big lie. Just a slight twisting or misrepresentation of the truth, what some people today would call a little white lie. And even the lie itself was cloaked within another lie. Now, allow me to share passages of Scripture with you. I want to go to Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19, and y'all don't have to turn there unless you really desire to, but let me read these to you. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Two places in the list of things God hates talks about lying. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, it says, But there shall by no means enter it, heaven, anything that defies or causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, in these scriptures, I hope you notice that it is an abomination to God for His creation to lie. It's an abomination to God for His creation to lie, and anyone who causes an abomination to God, it says, will not enter heaven. That means God finds lying to be disgusting and detestable and a condition of an unregenerated heart. Let me share another scripture with you. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, folks, God has no use for lies, lying, or liars. Wow. Wow. Now, I want to give some thought to the chief liar. Not much, but a little. It's no great secret that Satan is the liar. If Satan were to come up to any one of us in a recognizable form, we would not listen to anything he had to say. Why? Because we are aware he is a liar, and he cannot be trusted to speak truth. The scripture even states that Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, he said, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." The New Living Translation records this same verse this way: "For you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning and has always hated the truth. There's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Satan's character has not changed since the beginning. He was a liar in the Garden of Eden, and he's still a liar today. Understandably, we must also realize that his character will never, ever change. He's not going to change. In other words, he is what he is, and he's not going to change. But this morning, I'm not here to simply reiterate the fact that Satan is a liar. I have come to preach a message about Satan's biggest lie and our response to it. Brothers and sisters, while every lie, regardless of the content or propensity, is still a lie and therefore sin, there is one lie that Satan has told that is unequivocally the biggest lie ever. And that's why I call this message Satan's Biggest Lie. Let's look exactly what Satan said to Eve that morning in the Garden of Eden. And yes, I can determine that it was in the morning, or at least early midday, when Eve encountered the serpent. Just follow the time frame. Eve talked to the serpent and ate of the fruit. Eve took the fruit, found Adam, and persuaded him to eat. Realization dawned upon them, and they now knew they had sinned. So they sought cover to cover themselves. They sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. And then God came walking through the garden in the cool of the evening. Amen? So in the morning, Satan said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the last part, he said, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" Let me give you the interpretation of that. Didn't God say you could eat of every tree in the garden? Notice what Eve said, chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then Satan told Eve in verse 4 and 5, "You will not surely die. You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You won't die. God just knows that when you eat of it, you are going to become much smarter, more like He is, understanding what is good and what is evil. Now, it's in this dialogue that we can find the lies which Satan begins to deceive Eve with. God had told Adam and Eve not to eat of that particular fruit because they would die if they would. Some theologians believe God was speaking of a premature physical death. Others believe He was describing the result of a spiritual death. Either death is true. Sin brought separation from God and spiritual death, and sin brought sickness and disease to earth, which results in a physical death. That's why when Satan spoke to Eve, he stated that she would not die from eating the fruit, meaning that she would not encounter immediate physical death or immediate spiritual death, but she would. But she would. So here we find lie number one. Satan was twisting what God had stated and then declaring that God was the liar. That God was the liar. Satan made it seem to Eve that the reason God did not want them to eat of the fruit, that particular fruit, was because it would elevate them to a higher spiritual plane. You getting this? So here comes the second lie. Satan was portraying God as being jealous of man's possible spiritual elevation, resulting in another God-like being. Listen, folks. Eve was able to use 100% of her brain, but she still fell for all that malarkey. All of it. And that's why I teach and preach so often about the dangers of believing old Lucifer's words. Words that he speaks into your life. Understand this. None of these lies are Satan's biggest lie. Satan was far too subtle and devious to blatantly state his biggest lie. So the biggest lie, the biggest of Satan's lies, beginning in the Garden of Eden as he spoke to Eve, was an insinuation rather than a devious word spoken in this exchange. The biggest lie Satan ever told was this: what God said is not relevant to you. It really does not matter. So you can do whatever you want to. Can I repeat that?
Yes.
What God said is not relevant to you. It really does not matter. So you can do whatever you want to do. Satan spoke that lie in the beginning, and he continues to perpetuate it, that same lie today. It's the same thing over and over again. Satan doesn't change, right? He doesn't change. It's the same thing. Now, meditate on this. When you and I attempt to show people the Word of God and what it says about particular issues of salvation or something else, could be holiness, it could be Christian living, it could be grace, mercy, whatever. You probably have heard something like this: that does not pertain to us today. It's not relevant. Or, the Bible really doesn't mean that. Or, that's the wrong interpretation of that verse. Or, God wouldn't send someone to hell for that. Or, the Bible's really out of date with humanity. Or, how can a God of love judge us? Now, relate that to our life, to our subject. Look closely at what we've been talking about this morning. Understand that Satan's still using the same lie, the same insinuation that he spoke in the gardens. Brother Jerry, why hadn't he changed his tactics? Because his ways work so well, right? He believes in the old statement, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to listen to me very close. Every day, we hear the Word of God. Every day, we hear the Word of God. We listen to it, and then we automatically, add our reasoning or personal interpretation to it. All too often, we only believe the Word of God when it aligns with our ideas, our thoughts, our ways, our desires, our emotions, and our will. The Bible says God's ways are not our ways. But we continually bring them to our ways. Bring the Word of God to our ways. And no wonder we do those kind of things, because we only have 14% of a brain. When I go through the Bible, ever since I've become a pastor, I look for things that identifies the church. And I was thinking about that after that statement, and I think this is another reason for us to work together, right? because it takes 7+ people with normal thought processes to equal more than 100%. Right? And if you really get serious, 75 people will give you more than 1,000% of brain power. Wow. Wow. Now, I want to take a minute and get to the reality of what I'm trying to teach. Treat you. During Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, at the end of his 40-day fast, Satan enticed him. He suggested that he turn some stones into bread so that he might break the fast and eat. Jesus responded in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Amen? He was quoting from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 3 and verse 3. Now, think about this statement I'm going to give you, because I know you've heard it. A large number of good Christian folks believe that everything stated in the Old Testament is really irrelevant to the church today. They have reasoned this out. They know that today we live under a new covenant. But Jesus was quoting the Old Testament.
Yes.
Right? Jesus was using the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Man had to live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
Every word. The Apostle Paul stated in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, and verses 16 and 17, all Scripture,
yes,
Old Testament, New Testament, let's say both, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Yes, hallelujah.
The word inspiration in that verse means God breathed. God breathed. Therefore, we can conclude that when someone says that a certain portion of the Bible is irrelevant to us today, they have been listening to Satan's biggest lie. Are you with me?
Yes.
The message that I've come to preach to you today is simply this. It does matter what you believe. It does matter what you believe. If you trust what I've been saying, you must believe the right things. Satan is at work deceiving you and persuading you that the doctrine or biblical teaching is not important. It's not relevant. He's busy teaching you that. His purpose is to convince you that you must add your logic, your massive amount of wisdom and knowledge, come on, all your lifetime of accumulated information to ultimately establish a personal belief system. Baloney.
Right.
That's the lie.
Amen.
That's the lie. I'm going to say it again because you need to hear this. His purpose, this lie, the source of this lie is the same. His purpose is to convince you that you look at a verse, a text, anything in the Word of God, then he wants you to add your logic, your massive amount of wisdom and knowledge, right? All your lifetime of accumulated information to ultimately establish this personal belief system. It may not even look like the Word of God when it gets done. So do you only believe God's word when it is filtered through your 14% of your brain power?
Oh my.
Or are you one of those spiritual folks and Satan deceives you into thinking that you can only receive the word if it is filtered through your more adequate spiritual discernment? Fact of the matter is, that line of thinking is nothing more than a lie from the pits of hell. It does matter what you believe. It does matter what you believe. God's inspired, infallible, unquestionable, unwavering, irrevocable, enduring, consummate, perfect word does not need your interpretation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say it again.
Hallelujah.
God's inspired, infallible, unquestionable, unwavering, irrevocable, enduring, consummate, perfect word does not need our interpretation. Your beliefs and my beliefs must be based solely on the Word of God. Only on the Word of God, folks. Only on the Word of God. Anyone who questions His Word or anyone who tries to convince you that the Word is irrelevant, ineffective, or not applicable is perpetuating Satan's biggest lie. If your mind tells you different, well, you get the picture. Now, some of you say, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what he's talking about. I want to give you some examples. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Many of you can quote it from memory. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now we know what this verse says, but it makes more sense. It makes even perfect sense to us if we work a little bit extra to ensure our salvation. Surely you can't just relax and be yourself. You have to show people where you are spiritually. Have to give them a little fluff. Come on. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Works. And you may think, oh, I don't work for my salvation. Watch out. Watch out. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me or test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Now, here's a good verse to prove my point. Surely God didn't mean what I'm reading. Surely that's the Old Testament. He knows I need money for other things. God must have meant something else. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Perhaps some of you have never been baptized since you became a Christian, because the act of baptism doesn't make sense to everybody. Maybe you were baptized when you were an infant, when you weren't even aware, but you continue to reason that that was good enough. You don't need to do it again. Even though Peter places baptism coinciding with the act of repentance.
Yes.
Amen. How does a baby repent?
Amen.
One more. You getting this picture, folks? You getting this? Acts 1, 4 and 5. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now.'" This one tears me up. Every time I see people choosing not to accept this awesome promise of the Word of God, I get teared up. The baptism of the Holy Spirit just doesn't line up with their thinking. Just doesn't. Brothers and sisters, God has never and He will never tell anyone to do something that isn't good or right for them.
Come on. Hallelujah. Say that again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I have heard it all. They say, "I'll leave that for other people to do. Other people can do that. I could never speak in tongues. That would be so embarrassing for me." I've heard it all as they walk away. So they disregard the Word of God. They reason it out or determine it doesn't fit into their personal belief system. God gave me a nugget when I started in the ministry talking about our personal gospel. And I've said this over and over, you probably heard me, but it fits right into this, that people take from here and there and blend it together and end up with something that may or may not look like the gospel of Jesus Christ. Aunt Betty said this. Uncle George taught that. The man at work has said repeatedly that. I read in the Bible this, and all of a sudden you've got a mixture of things that do not resemble. Maybe a hint, but they don't resemble what God has said. Why do we have denominations? Why is the body of Christ divided? Because we reason everything. Years ago, I made a decision that if some man had to tell me what this word says, then I'm putting my faith in that man, not in God. I believe my awesome Holy Spirit can give me the meaning of the verse that I'm reading.
That's right.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
He's on your side.
Yes.
He knows exactly what you need to live victorious. You can trust everything he says. You can trust it. He wants to equip you for your walk. The Word of God will equip you and empower you, but you have to believe it. Amen. You don't have to question it and modify it. Yes. You have to believe it. Hallelujah. Now, I want to assure you of God's love for you and remind you of my love for you. Because I probably stepped on some toes. Satan doesn't love you.
That's right.
In fact, he hates you. He wants to destroy you. And he does that with his lies. So don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. As you read the Word of God, or as you listen to the Word of God, believe it. Trust it. Depend upon it. And do it.
Yes.
And do it. Whenever you hear the Word of God, you have to put your mind in neutral.
Yep.
Tell your logic, tell your reasoning, tell the devil to shut up.
Come on.
You're under my feet, devil.
Right.
Yes.
I have decided to follow God. I am determined to believe His Word. Amen? The Word is truth. Nothing else. You can't depend on anything else being truth except this.
That's right.
Amen? Amen?
Hallelujah.
That's the key to living victoriously in this walk. Believing the Word of God and acting upon it. Hallelujah.
Glory.
The Bible tells us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
So that's the devil's motive. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy you. You. Jesus' motive is to give you life and give you life more abundantly.
Oh, hallelujah.
What is, which outcome do you prefer? What's the definition of insanity? To keep doing what you've been doing and expecting a change? Huh? Everything that I'm telling you is dependent on how you answer this question. What will I do with the Word of God? What will I do with the Word of God? Will I believe it? Or will I allow Satan to use my reasoning to change it into something a little more comfortable? Something a little more sociable? Something that requires less from me? You decide. But Jesus and your pastor want you to walk victoriously.
Yes.
Give up on that personal gospel. Flush it down the drain. And say, I'm going to read the Word of God and take it as it says.
Right. Right.
Believe it as it says. I've had, through the years, I've done these jobs, and I've had some wonderful debates with people. And so many times they'll say the Word of God says something. Where in the world did you find that? You can talk to anybody and you'll find this, folks. Because they will take the truth and modify it to their needs, their thinking, their ways. And what I want to tell you today is that is the biggest lie Satan uses. And you will not You will not be able to trust that word when you need it. You will not take that word and stand on it because there's doubt in it now. It's been blended. Watered down. That's a good definition. Now, who loves me in here and who's against me? I want to talk to those who are against me. You haven't got my picture yet. God wants you to trust His Word.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You know, I forget the statistics, but 1,200 years in putting this Bible together. 66 books and I don't remember how many authors. In all of them, from the front to the back,
yes,
the common thread is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How did that happen? They just threw some words up and there it is. No, God said it was breathed by God. The Holy Spirit anointed men of old to write down.
Yes.
The translators worked night and day duplicating this. The Dead Sea Scrolls showed it to be true hundreds and hundreds of years ago. When they were written, the Word of God lines up to it. Oh, I've got to think about this. I've got to use my 14% and try to figure this out. Believe it, folks.
Amen.
Believe it.
Amen.
Believe it. Sister.
This morning, I was at Angela's. And can I show you something?
Sure.
This man is amazing and is so highly anointed this morning.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Remember your code here.
Now, I know you guys got big screens. I'm going to show you this first.
Okay.
That's the same mountain.
Mm-hmm. That's a mountain.
Yeah, but that's the same mountain. See this line right here?
Mm-hmm.
See that? See this? That's the same mountain. Whoops. It's the same picture. It's the exact same picture. This is in Oregon. Look at it real good. It's the same picture, same view. See the line across the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
I just showed him the line on the top. It's a power line. A friend of mine sent this to me. I just came from Oregon, where they got these big fires.
Yeah.
What he's preaching today, you got to see it this way. You got to see it here. Picture's worth 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
He painted 1,000 words today. Got to see it this way. This is a smoke screen. It's intense fires right there. It's all a smoke screen. When you see things, God never gave you the ability to reason your way out of Him.
Yes.
He never gave you the ability to reason your way and think your way out of this word.
Uh-huh.
He never gave you that ability.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That came straight from Lou. Mm-hmm. I don't even give him the ability to call.
Yeah, you told me
his
that.
Name is Lou.
Lucifer.
His name is Lou. Call him by his name. His name is Lou. Why exalt him by saying, oh, he's the devil. That throws him way up there, right? Everybody's afraid of that idiot. He's the one that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
Your friends and families.
He someday. Every one of you are going to look at him and say, is this the man? Is This little teeny tiny sniffly thing. You know, when there was a legion of demons cast out of a man, how big can a demon be if a legion of them can live in a man?
Not very big.
Think about it. 3,000? 9,000? Doesn't make any difference. That's a whole lot inside one person.
He's a peanut, huh?
Yeah. And we call him the devil. We call him Satan. I know it's in the Bible. But we call him that. And the minute that happens, you know what happens to God's people? They just all of a sudden go, I'm afraid of him. Oh, my gosh. You guys have got the... How many of you have got the Holy Ghost living in you?
Amen.
How many Amen. Of you have got the
power? Amen.
How many of you are born again?
Amen.
You got the power of the universe living inside you.
Amen.
The same thing that spoke the universe into existence lives inside of you. Amen. I've been blessed to come here twice.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for not throwing me out.
Come back anytime.
I mean, really, thank you for not throwing me out.
You're very welcome.
But I want to tell you something. You guys hear what this man's saying. Don't just hear it. Hear it in here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hear it deep inside you.
Yes.
Hear it
yes.
so deep inside you that it becomes alive. You Amen. Don't want. Amen. I can't bring the picture back up again because you're going to see my grandson descending down on it. But here's the deal. You want to see that top picture. Everything
yes.
that Lou throws at you is nothing but a big smoke screen.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
It's a smoke screen.
Trying to hide the truth.
And all you have to do is breathe on it. You got it, don't you, sister? You got it. There's people in here that Jesus has moved on in the last couple of weeks. It happened after service 2 weeks ago. And he's moved on some of you in here in a way that you never thought that he would ever move on you before. I know I'm a crazy old lady. I wear Harley Davidson t-shirts because people judge me by what I wear. And that's not the same thing that's inside me. And you know what? We take a look at the Word. We take a look at the Word and we see it. He sees you powerful.
Yeah, for
two
sure.
Of them says, go your faith, your, go thy way, go, no, go in peace, your faith has made you whole. Isn't that what you always hear? But Pastor, there's another verse, there's in Mark.
Okay.
He says, go in peace.
Let's pray, folks. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we look at things. We try to figure them out. Till we get them to some point that we can believe them. And Lord, after today, we know that's wrong. We know we dilute the Word of God. Jesus, your Word is rich. It is the answers to life. And it is the way to salvation. It is the way to a walk that's powerful and mighty, even to the breaking down of strongholds. Jesus, teach us to stop all the thinking that has no purpose and to believe the Word of God. Believe it in our hearts. And let that belief in our hearts transform our mind. Let it renew our mind over and over again until our heart and our mind are lined up with the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the people of this church. Lord, you know I love them. Lord, you know I want the very best for them. But Lord, what I want for them is just immaterial. You want the very best for them. So Lord, help them to step out and believe what you say. And I give you glory and praise this morning for all you've done and all you're doing and everything that'll take place next week even, Lord God. And in your word, there is comfort. There is peace. There is strength. There is a solution to everything we face if we but see it for what it really is. And I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Hug some necks, shake some hands, folks.